The following Piano Jazz podcast was produced from a show which originally aired in 1990.
Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. We're here today at Penny Lane Studios in New York, and my guest is Walter Davis Jr. He's one of the great stylists in the bebop tradition, but he has his own very positive sound. And it's lovely that you're here, Walter.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
You know, Walter, I've read in several different places that you're from Richmond, Virginia, and then I read somewhere else that you're from West Orange, New Jersey. Where is it really? Where are you really from?
I was born in Richmond, but after a day, Mom's got me out of there. Too sweet, right to the city. And I went to school in East Orange.
I see. So that's how that... Well, how did you get started playing when you were a kid?
Well, my mother and father both played. And my mother had four brothers. They were all tremendous piano players. They were into Fats Waller, you know, I remember them playing.
Well, you had quite a musical environment. So you must have got started playing by ear or as a kid, didn't you, or did you?
Well, I was. See, I came from one of these families where they would sit around after a meal or whatever. Everybody in a family, relatives, whoever. And they would take turns and go around the room. And everybody in the room had to get up and entertain for 5 minutes. They had to either tell a story, dance, sing, play, or whatever, but hold everybody's attention for 5 minutes.
My goodness, what great training, though.
So I had to find something to do because I couldn't hang with them unless I could do that.
What did you do, play piano?
Yeah, I played the piano. I was playing my boogie-woogies, you know, that stuff.
It's too bad this isn't TV because you're so expressive with your hands. And, you know, I can see where you got that sort of histrionic air about you from doing all these things with the family. So, before we go any further, you better play something because you're just like a bundle of energy. I want to hear you put some of that into the keyboard.
Okay.
How about one of your own things?
Okay, backgammon?
That'd be great.
Okay.
That'd be great. Wow, this is a wonderful piece. It's got elements of so many things in it. I mean, I guess you'd have to categorize that as a sort of in a bebop vein, wouldn't you? Would you?
Oh, well, yeah. I don't think I could wash that out of me.
But, well, you wouldn't want to. It's fabulous.
Yeah,
but I mean, there's a little overtones of Monk and Bud Powell. And I mean, you were right in the thick of it with those people, weren't you?
Yeah, well, both of them were my teachers, actually.
You mean they actually were, or just from listening to them?
I spent a lot of time with both of them.
You started, your first gig was with Charlie Parker, with Bird?
Right.
Tell me about that.
Oh, he was just great. It was like, I don't know, it was so great playing with Bird, you know, because he would always say what he felt to me, and that knocked me out.
He was a kind person.
Yes, he was. You know, I remember one night he says, he called this tune, My Little Suede Shoes. Everybody's heard that, you know. So, yeah, sure, Bird. We get to playing it. We get in the channel, you know, he looks around at me, and he delineates the chords. Rip, up or down, whatever, perfectly. And, at the end of the tune, he came to me, he said, Why you say you knew that tune? See, I thought I did know it, Brad. He said, but listen, he said, if there's one chord you don't know in that song, you don't know it. He's saying it's no big deal. He said, there are millions of songs. We can always pick another song, you know? And that was so real. And he always told me to always learn the lyrics to a song. That way you know what you're saying.
That's the best way I ever heard it put.
You know?
Play something. I want to hear you play another
Okay.
You had one picked out, Love.
Which one was that?
Love.
Oh, Love. Oh, that's a great tune.
No.
Nobody plays that.
That impish sense of humor. Imagine ending it on an F sharp, but it works.
Tritone attitude. You know, Stravinsky used that a lot.
Yeah. I'm having a really good time.
Yes.
Let's do a duet. You were talking about body and soul and the lyric and everything.
Right.
Let's do it. And I'll play the first half.
All right, good.
And you play the second half, and then we'll play one together.
Like Monk used to say, tear out. Tear out.
It's real funny. Interesting what you do. It's really interesting.
Interesting what you do too, because you like to keep it tied down. You got You can't let it, you know, get too flamboyant. Sometimes.
Well, I don't know. I mean, was you think that was keeping it too tied down?
No.
I mean, you think?
No, I think at certain places it should be what it is. You know, a thing is what it is. First of all, before something else.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to start simple and go out from there. And of course, you know, sometimes people find it hard to believe that, for instance, you and I have really and truly we've just met. Mm-hmm. And here we are playing a tune.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of amazing when you think of it. Mm-hmm.
You play a lot of solo piano, don't you?
Yeah, but a lot of trio things. In fact, actually, one of the big things in my life is working opposite Mary Lou Williams.
Yeah.
She had her trio and I had mine.
Oh, it must have been nice.
Yeah, I mean, it was great for me because I learned a lot from that woman.
You can't be around her and don't learn something.
Well... And among the things that I learned were some of her pieces. In fact, she came up to my house once and wrote out a couple of things for me. And I'd like to play you one.
Oh, please. I'd love to hear that.
Which is She used to giggle about this. I don't know where she got this title. It's
what's the title?
Scratching in the Gravel.
Woo! Yeah. Would you play that?
I'd love to.
That's great. Oh, man, Mary Lou. Woo.
It's kind of
a cute thing.
Well,
you guys must have had a ball in.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, I think that tune, it's like Bird used to do with taking a standard tune and writing changes. I think that tune, Scratching in the Gravel, was taken from, part of it is taken from Duke's thing in My Solitude. It's got that.
It's got
that kind of a bridge to it.
Took
me a long time to figure that out, but anyway, it's a cute tune. And I think of Mary Lou so often. She did so much for me.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
You know, you must have been at Birdland when I was at the Hickory House. I'm sure I must have seen you there.
Sure. I mean, that was my office, as it were. Birdland. Yeah, I'll meet you at Birdland.
In fact, I've got a picture of myself and Bud Powell taken in there.
Ooh.
Sitting in a booth.
Oh, wow.
And he looks so cool. He's smoking a cigarette and he's looking very cool.
Yeah.
And I'm looking very proper. I had on some kind of a proper dress. It's an unbelievable picture. Very proper. I'll show you that picture sometime. But meanwhile, how about doing one of Bud's tunes?
Oh, I'd love to.
Would you?
I feel like I owe it to him, you know, because he's giving me so much. Tempest Fugit.
Oh, that's a
remember
great
that one?
Yes. Yes, please play it.
Let me see now.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.